Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We are starting a brand new series today called What's in a Name? Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity to be blessed by you and to bless others. Thank you as we spend time in your word that you continue to expand our understanding and deepen our understanding. Thank you, Father God, that your word is ever true and that you have magnified your word above your name. Thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're starting a new series, and I guess today I'm going to call it What's in a Name? That was a question posed by Shakespeare. It said, "What's in a name? A rose by another name would sell as sweet." And that there definitely isn't truth in that. However, looking scripturally, we will find that names are incredibly significant. And there is so much that I want to share on that, but we're going to have an awfully long introduction first. Who knows if the introduction may not take a couple of episodes, because we all know this hit and miss. We all have got this idea, and we all, when we'll be studying something, look up that name. What does that name mean? But very seldom do we take an overall view of names in the Bible. And it isn't even that. I'm going to zero in on the names and titles of God. And it's something we use very haphazardly. But I'm going to start with just looking at names. The number of times the word name appears in the Bible is astronomical. There are so many. And I just want us to begin to understand that that is something very significant in the scriptures. Okay? So we're going to start with looking at just names as we see them in the scriptures. Of course, we know if you would just browse through Psalms and see how many times are we told to count the number of times to praise his name. Well, what name are we praising? That's a good question. And try to count the number of times where we're to call upon his name. We say it so much that very seldom do we actually step back and listen to what we're saying. Also, the names of the sons of Israel, the tribes, and the genealogies. If you learn anything about the Hebrews, they loved genealogy. If you remember in Matthew, Matthew spends a great deal of time going into the genealogy of Jesus, doesn't he? We know Luke goes the other way. He goes from him back to Adam. But Matthew starts with Abraham and goes through each generation, showing the name of each patriarch that came down to Jesus. Genealogies are very important to them because this is how they traced their belonging. And it's because they were called in Abraham. Now, we'll get to that too. But so you can't even count all of the times. If you were to look at it, each generation is named. But not just that. Each city, the wells, the rivers, they all have names. They're not just, oh, yeah, that one over there. It's amazing how we name things. Like, there's probably not any town east of the Mississippi that doesn't have a Market Street. Why? Because they all had a market, you know. And if you're on a river, every river has a front street or has River Road. You know, these are just were used geographically so we could identify them. Many came from in our country from the native languages, the native peoples that inhabited it. But of course, we also have to have man's ego because we name streets after people and cities after people. And you know, I was just thinking, we have a little town south of here called Perrysburg. Well, many of you probably know of Commodore Perry, who fought the great battle on the naval battle on the Great Lakes, and you know, destroyed the British in the War of 1812. So he was a very important man. And so they named a city after, a town after him. Fort Wayne, there was a little fort there named after Mad Anthony. And he was, again, these were historic figures, but people have even done the same. We have a developer in town who just built some new houses and he named each street after one of his children. So sometimes we arbitrarily do it, but we see also that with God, these things, especially the ones in the scriptures, are divine. They have purpose. They have meaning. Remember the scripture that tells us that nothing in the scriptures is without significance, that everything is in there for a reason. We may not always understand it. Some of it we may not understand till we get to heaven. But some of it we don't understand because we don't dig deep enough. So anyway, I'm sure everyone understands that. All the names of the people. And I'm going to, okay, I'm going to say this right now too. If you look at names of people in the scriptures, this is just a general rule of thumb. And once you get it, you'll go, aha, I get that. I understand that. So that we have male names, not all, but almost always have an inclusion of part of a word of one of the names of God. They may have an E-L, they may have a J-A-H, they may have, like, let's look at Elijah. It has both the E-L, right, and the J-A-H at the end, Elijah. Many of the scriptures, many of the male names have that. You will see it over and over and over again. Women's names were usually more taken from nature. They may be trees, flowers, natural beauty. And again, what is the symbolism of that? The male and the female together are a unit, right? He is God of what? Heaven and earth. So it's that combination of the two, okay? So you see that. You'll see it, and all of a sudden you'll start looking at those names with a little bit of uniqueness now. You'll start going through, oh, Jeremiah, you know. You'll just go through them. You will see it. just not all of them, but a very, 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 very many of them will have combinations of the name of God. The women, again, will be often from the elements of the earth, the beauty of the earth. So it's heaven and earth together. That's when it's how it's supposed to be, and it's perfect and it's complete. Okay. Jesus, when he prayed, said, "Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." And he said that it should be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's this continual desire to reunite these things, you know, and it's heaven and earth, the two be one. Okay, so you see that. There's so many times, I'm not even going to get into God yet, but just see how people's names, the genealogies. Let me reiterate here that when the children of Israel, the tribes were not named, they were named after men, the sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, that were... They were the 12 sons. Actually, there were 13. We'll go into that because it wasn't a separate tribe, but how the land was divided. Joseph's sons, Joseph, there's no tribe but Joseph, but the two sons, that was his double portion, and Levi had no portion. But anyway, the 12 sons. Okay, so those were the tribes. Look at how important it was. You know that the tabernacle was an image of heaven? And in this image of heaven, all these things had significance and meaning. I presume you know that, you know, the Holy of Holies, the Holy, the brazen altar, all of these things, the sockets of silver, the coverings of various colors, everything had significance. So certainly one of the major things of the priest going before the Lord was the breastplate, and it was made up of what? 12 stones, and each stone bore the name of one of the tribes. And if you look in, I think it's Exodus 28, along around, you know, 12 through 21 in there, that area, it talks about that the high priest would wear this breastplate before the Lord, bearing the names of the tribes of Israel before the Lord. That's pretty heavy stuff. So these names are important. I didn't really want to jump to New Testament just yet, but you will see that through the Bible, there are many times people's names are sent from heaven. Remember that was so of John the Baptist. His father, that tradition was to name after someone in the family, but the angel said, "Nope, you're going to call him John." Okay, and Matthew, we'll read it later. But Matthew, these are ones you know. The angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." They shall call his name Emmanuel. So there are two names there. It's not like Jesus was his first name and Emmanuel was his last name. But there's a difference of what you call him, what we call him, all of these things. And we know Jesus was a Greek-sized word for Joshua, which, of course, again, has the names of God in it. Okay, Yeshua, anyway, you get that. They have the names of God in it. But the names take very clear precedence all the way through the scriptures. We stop and tell, now even look at, I'll talk about New Testament just for a minute, because I'm just talking about names of people. There were people, even in Old Testament, there were people that were, let me say this, of no consequence. And then they'll say a certain man without a name. But then when they were people of consequence, like, say, a certain woman named Lydia, we know who that was. But remember when Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. What's her name? Don't know. He was going to the house of Jairus, which was a high-born man, very important man, so his name is recorded. But yet he stopped and performed the miracle on this nameless woman first. See, so this anonymity speaks to us, and you'll see a lot of that, I would say, probably more, I'm just, you know, thumbnailing it here, in the book of Luke. Why? Because Luke shows him as the son of man, the downtrodden, the lost, the widow, the orphan, the stranger among us, what we would call like the dregs or the disconnected, the fringe people. Their names aren't in there, because the book of Luke shows a lot. That's who he came for. He came for the lost. He came for the invisible, if I can say it like that. But there are also a great deal of time names are mentioned. So they both have significance, whether they're named or whether they're not named. I know I've taught it here, the four wells of Isaac. Isaac dug again the wells of his father, and he stopped it and named each well. Now, I don't know about you, but yesterday was trash day. So I rolled the two receptacles, the two bins, back into their place by the house. And we got one for trash, and then we have a different one for recycle. Then we have a second one for trash, the sort of secondary one, and the same with the recycle. I didn't name them. I just, I'll grab the trash when you grab the recycle one. That's it. But see, these wells each had a name, didn't they? And we can go back and look that up sometime, because that's a marvelous study of the four wells of Isaac. But each name, I don't do that. Do you do that? My street has a name, but I have no idea where it came from or what significance it is. Anyway, names in the Bible are very important. It's an important study in itself. We are going to go, I know my bishop in Atlanta will be pleased, because we're going to go to Genesis at some point. But I want to just take a little time now when we talk about the names of people. We talked about various names and having a calling like John, etc. But we also, there are times that names change. Remember when the angel changed the name of Jacob to Isaac? Israel. Changed it from, I've got too many names in my head right now. He changed it because the one was a kind of a dubious character. The other one, Israel, get that E-L in there? He's a prince of God. He's a prince among, do you understand? He was elevated, and it had to do, it came at the time when his life changed and he began to step into his purpose, okay? Look at the other two big ones I know that you'll catch right away. These also are in Genesis, and they're in Genesis 17. When Abraham, who had been Abram, right, and his wife Sarai, okay? Then when the angel said, look, you are going to have a child with this woman, and your name will no longer be Abram, but will be Abraham, the father of many nations. The same with Sarah's name was changed, because they came into a different time of life, a different purpose. Many times names have to do with calling or with purpose. God calls and God gives them a name. And again, that we're all leading up to that, the same with Jesus, as we talked about in Matthew. You shall call his name Jesus, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This was not haphazard. They didn't sit around. They didn't see what names were in the soap opera. They didn't say, oh, I like the sound of that one. They didn't say what was on the name of on the back of a potato chip bag. They didn't say, well, we had a great uncle named so-so. I always liked that name. These were given by God. Okay. Now, so we're beginning to see that names, first off, it's extremely pervasive. All the way through the scriptures, you know, if you really want to, I had a physician once that told me that he did not, he didn't prescribe sleeping meds, okay? He took, I think it was Leviticus. He'd tell people, if you can't sleep, just sit and read Leviticus. And you go, so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And he said, that'll put you to sleep. But it was important to record each and every one of those, okay? So we're going to go back, you know how I am, to the very beginning. We aren't even at God's names yet. I want you to see how powerful this thing is of names. And then we will get to Jesus because, well, maybe we will take, no, we won't do that. We'll do this first. Okay. And that will, yeah, there's a lot to cover, and it may come in any kind of order you may see. But we've been talking about the names of men and women, what they mean, and how they're given. Now, Genesis chapter 1, we know God created everything, and he created all individuals, and he spoke this, and it came, this came into being, and that came into being. And then, somewhere around verse 27, verse 26, he said, let us make man in our own, in our image, after our likeness. And let them, plural, have dominion over this, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And again, created them. I lost my place. I'm good. Male and female created he them, verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, bow there. He gave them their purpose, their marching orders. What am I supposed to do? You created me and you give me purpose. Oh, every human heart. We're not here for no reason. We aren't here to just amuse ourselves. We're not here. We are here for a purpose. And I contend that many times people have sorrow. Many times people are withered because they don't find and fulfill their purpose. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over. That's what he told those two to do. And he called them Adam. Okay, so chapter 2, seventh day, he rested, and he blessed it, da-da-da-da. Now, there's, oops, I'm kind of got, yeah. And here's, now he's given him his tasks to do. Verse 16, see, now go back up to 10 through 14. He takes time to name each river. River went out from Eden, watered the gardens, the name of the first, you know, and the second, and the gold of the land was good, bedla-da-da, the name of the second river, and so on. He names each river. The Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and to dress it and keep it. Again, purpose. And verse 16, the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eat it, thou shalt surely die. Okay, that was another great study we need to do sometime. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found any helpmeet. Okay, now I want you to take a moment and think about this. This is God's man who's created to have dominion in the earth. What does he tell him to do? Name the animals. Now think about that. each one, they came to him, and he named them, all right? Then he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, so on. We know what happened. Now, verse 23, I want you to watch, because we kind of muddy things together. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." So at this point, they were man and woman. Ish and, I forget my Hebrew on this, Ish and Ishish. So it's like man and man, like man, woman. They're Ish and Ishish. So that's who they were. Now we're kind of fast forward on, because we all know the story. Serpent brought them down, okay? And then all kinds of things broke loose, didn't they? Okay? So we are now in chapter 3. After all this other stuff happened, and the ground is cursed, and the woman, the man, the serpent, everything's a mess. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. We know that's the promise of Jesus right then and there. And your desire to be the husband, he shall rule over thee. Okay. And Adam said, "Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of the Lord, thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, this is what you will labor all your days." Okay, we know all those things. But look at verse 19. Okay, he's finishing it off, and he's saying, "The sweat of your brow you shall eat, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." Now, a break, a change. Verse 20, "And Adam," not God, "Adam called his wife's name Eve." Up until then, they'd had one name, the same name, okay? Both sides of it, the male and female side of man. But when that enmity, when everything was ripped apart, now Adam calls his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Well, she'd had no child. She'd had nothing. She hadn't given life at this point. But again, you see, her name will give indication of what her purpose, her calling, her meaning will be. Amen? Does that kind of make some sense? All right. So we'll follow this couple down now. Now they're Adam and Eve. But again, the name is tied to her purpose, okay? And he covered them. He covered them with skins. He didn't cover them with leaves. Why? The skin speaks of sacrifice. Already he's laying the groundwork for us to understand what it takes for redemption. It will take the sacrifice of his son. That's why the years of sacrifice at the temple, and even before that, the tabernacle, they sacrificed animals. As I told you before when we were talking, it's the sacrifice didn't get to die of old age. It's got to be killed. Ooh, I know that sounds awful. And there's got to be blood shed. And so already he's preparing us for Calvary. Isn't that incredible? Okay. So he covered them, and they da 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 da. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." Whew! She thought she'd already gotten the Messiah. We always want this thing to be short. God said there'll be a Messiah come, and he'll redeem you, and now she gives birth to this little boy, and she thinks that's it. We're going to get right back in the garden. And that word Cain means acquisition. Or acquired. It's acquisition. And again, I won't belabor it, but this speaks, and we all have that because we're all ignorant. She had that ego in there. "I have gotten the man from the Lord. I've brought forth the Messiah." It had to do with that. Well, then he ended up being the first murderer, killed her other son, and she gets a little more humble by the time she gives birth to Seth. But anyway, and that means acquisition. It speaks to that lower level of our misunderstanding and of our desire See, what is the battle? Always, always, always. My friend, the battle is for us to think that we don't need the sacrifice of Jesus, but it can be by our works. Amen? That's the fundamental theological problem. We think somehow we can do something to make ourselves righteous. Well, now Eve thinks she has done something. She has gotten the man from the Lord. So it speaks to that. It's more than just, the little sin of pride or anything. It speaks to that fundamental rift that we don't accept the fact that without him, without the sacrifice of Jesus, we can do nothing. Verse 2, again she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, this is really kind of interesting because the word Abel means transitory. Okay? Transitory. Okay? And so, and if there were anybody whose life was transitory, it was Abel's. He was the first one to die, wasn't he? And he died without having children, without having anything, without having a life. He had a job and he brought a sacrifice. But what happened? He was transitory. Now, we'll skip ahead because a whole lot goes on in between there. But again, we'll stay in chapter 4 of Genesis. Verse 25, and Adam, that's a man, knew his wife again. Eve, again, the coming together of those things that had been one but are now separated. Do you see the image there? We were one with God, but then sin separated us. Well, Adam and Eve were one, but sin separated them. And that always that desire to come together. So they came together, they bore a son, and they called his name Seth. Now watch how her verbiage has changed. She says, "For God," she said, "for God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." Again, now she's given the glory to God, and she is like, "Not, not I have done this thing, but God hath appointed me another seed." And I love this because actually what Seth means is sprout. The other were seeds too, weren't they? But the seeds didn't sprout. Amen? And what Seth literally means is that it was a substitute, all right? It was an appointment that God has appointed her another seed. God has substituted this. In other words, God will provide. When sin has taken that thing away, God has appointed me another seed. And so she already, we're seeing those foreknowledge. I tell you, you know, if it ain't in Genesis, it ain't happening. Here we are only in chapter 4. We see the names of these people. We see the meaning of them. We see the purpose in them. We see the calling in them. And we see how they all foreshadow the great calling of Jesus that clear back before he even removed them from Eden. He promised them a Messiah, but he also said, but it's going to come through tears and sweat and hard labor. The world out there is not going to be pretty, and it's still not, but we have that promise of the Messiah. And so we didn't even go through Cain and Abel, but you see their names had meaning. And Seth, the seed that was appointed, the substitute, okay, that substitute Seth sprouted, and from Seth comes the lineage of Jesus. If you want to change it all the way back, well, go ahead and read Luke and how it goes backwards, 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 backwards to end up at Adam, because Jesus is, of course, what? The second Adam. And it came through the line of Seth, whom God, she said, hath appointed me another seed. We've barely begun to dig into this thing of names so that I can get to the point of sharing with you the names, the titles, the meanings of all the various names of God. We say God, Lord, Jehovah, various things. most of the time we don't really know what they mean. Sometimes we feel a little real academic to be say El Shaddai, but you know, it's sort of, it's not like in Spanish El Toro. It's El is the name of God. Shaddai has another meaning as well. We'll get to all of this, but I wanted to lay this groundwork for you to see from the very beginning. The first thing Adam did in the garden was name the animals that God brought before him. The first thing that when they went from the garden, their names shifted. They were no longer just man or woman. They were Adam and Eve. But in that change in name, there also was calling and purpose. She became the mother of all living. And that was what she did, isn't it? We know that even in Genesis, going on down to chapter 17, Abram and Sarai got their names changed to Abraham and Sarah. When they fulfilled that calling, they were always meant. And they named that child what they were meant, what he was meant to be, because it was through Isaac that all the children that of Israel would come. Isn't that true? And anyway, so you go on down. There were two, he had two children, didn't he? Two boys, twins, fighting in the womb. But each one was given a specific name that related to their character. But then Jacob's name got changed when he got touched by God, and his name was changed because his purpose had changed. Anyway, I don't want to belabor it. This is just beginning to lay the foundation. We'll still look at how names are used. New Testament, when Jesus comes, and then we will get on to the names, the titles of God, and how to use them. It's not like you're wrong using them other ways, but it's, again, that thing we got to know what, for example, do you say Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus? They both are the same man, but each one has a different emphasis. And so we should know that so we can refer to them appropriately. Because from that, it's not that the other's wrong, but there's a deeper and deeper meaning. And that's what we're about here, learning those things so that it can give an abundance, a clarity, a sparkle to our lives and to our understanding and to our relationship with God. So we're going to end there for today. But know that it's going to be an exciting time. I hope. I've been looking forward to this. So, all right, let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we do call you Father. That's our relationship with you, because you are the one who, through Christ, brought us into the family of God, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Thank you, Father God, for the right to call you that and to ask you in prayer to bless each and every one of us. Help us to understand more clearly and more deeply with every day of our life, that we may truly glorify you and we may be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm looking forward to being with you again next time as we continue to go down this road of names. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.